Blog Talk Radio.
Feather merchants, the phony war against ISIS, the feminist train wreck in the military, liberal fools in the trouble with Hillary. This is the Ray Starman Show. I'm Ray Starman, the host of the Ray Starman Show. It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles, California, and another cold, crisp night. No rain forecast due Sunday. Maybe Saturday. Little El Nino stuff moving towards the West Coast. Today's subject on the Ray Starman Show is, at the Pentagon, General Chaos is in charge. We're going to talk, we have a whole hour tonight on the Ray Starman Show. We're going to talk about the main subject that I just mentioned. General Chaos is in charge of the Pentagon these days, with social engineering, the U.S. military moving at a frenetic pace. At destructive pace. We'll also talk about the possible demotion of General David Petraeus and the White House witch hunt after the general. We'll also focus on ISIS, their plans for 2016, whatever they may be, and the election and the Iowa caucuses coming up on February 1st. We'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. A lot to talk about. Was the theme to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Classic Western, spaghetti Western from 1967. And the soundtrack composed by the great Italian genius Ennio Morricone. At the Pentagon, General Chaos is in charge. Let's take a look at what happened a couple weeks ago. If we remember when the U.S. military was humiliated by the Iranians on the high seas of the Persian Gulf before a worldwide television audience. You had the Pentagon saying that we had the two U.S. Riverine craft, originally out of San Diego, were apparently on the way from when they were captured by the Iranian Navy, which is actually part of the Revolutionary Guards, off of Farsi Island. So you have two U.S. Navy vessels of war. A commanding officer was a lieutenant, like a equivalent O3 captain in the Army or the Marines. Crew of 10, surrendered to at first, one Iranian patrol boat that was smaller and less heavily armed than we were. Then, of course, a couple others converged, and all of a sudden it was a feeding frenzy, basically a media frenzy, which quickly became an apologizing frenzy by the United States, a thank you frenzy, a get down on our knees and kiss the Iranians some more frenzy. Whether the lieutenant that was in charge, and I believe his name is Lieutenant Nartger, he sort of disappeared from the scene rapidly. He's been shoved under the 500 by 1,000 square foot large rug that sits in the lobby of the Pentagon, where everything that is done now is shoved under this large rug by Ash Carter. We surrender without firing a shot. Now, in all fairness to Lieutenant Nartger, who did violate Article 2 of the United States Military Code of Conduct, he probably was ordered by some feather merchant, some perfume prince or princess at echelons above Navy command or even as far into the Pentagon to surrender. Because in Obama's Navy, we don't fight. In Obama's military, we don't fight. We don't take the fight to the Iranians. We don't take the fight to ISIS. We don't take the fight to anyone. The only thing that they do in Obama's military is they take the fight to a 240-year-old institution, the United States military, which is being torn up right now, torn to pieces by leftist, radical feminists. We surrender. They bring us into captivity. As soon as they knew they had us, this was going to be a media frenzy for them. Media frenzy. We're on our knees surrendering to them. They're filming it. And then the Iranians get this lieutenant who's in command, Nartger. He apologizes. He tells the world that their treatment of us was fantastic, like he was on Club Med or something with his men. Doesn't that speak volumes about the current fighting spirit, training, and state of readiness of the U.S. military in 2016? I know that I'm not the only one who's mad as hell about the way that went down. A lot of vets are upset. I'm sure a lot of active duty people are upset. The problem with what's going on in the United States military now is not to be blamed on your average soldier, Marine, sailor, airman, air person, whatever they call themselves these days. Not to be blamed on a company grade or field grade officer, lieutenants, the captains, the majors, the lieutenant colonels. The blame is at the people at the top. So you have the conduct of the U.S. Navy officer in charge, Nartger, which was a disgrace. Like I said, Nartger was probably ordered to surrender, so you can't really get him on Article 2 violations, but he did violate Article 5 of the United States Military Code of Conduct, which says, if I'm captured, I will only give my name, rank, serial number, and date of birth. I will sign nothing. I will make no audio or video recording that will be detrimental to my nation's cause or the cause of our allies. Sounds like you violated Article 5, doesn't it? Sounds like it to me. Then you have John Kerry, when they were released, thanking the Iranians. Thank you so much for humiliating us again, Iran, and the wonderful treatment of these people who had guns to their heads. Of course, not on camera. On camera, they were sitting there on those $5,000 Persian rugs, eating shrimp kabsa and drinking mango juice. And then you have Secretary of Defense Ash Carter. First says it was a mechanical breakdown. Of course, why? If it was a mechanical breakdown, why did the other boat tow the other boat out of there? Then they said it was a navigational problem. Both boats were supposed to believe in the year 2016, all systems went down, like the Klingons took over the navigational systems. Of course, they didn't have any compasses on them. Why would they? It's Obama's military. You don't have a compass on you now. Come on. They did take the SIM cards. The Iranians took the SIM cards from a couple cell phones. Cell phones have navigational systems. So my iPhone has a compass. Worst case scenario. So we're not supposed to believe that. What are we supposed to believe? I'll tell you what we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe it was a complete and utter disgrace. And no doubt, the order to surrender came from none other than General Chaos, who is now in charge of the Pentagon and the United States military. General Chaos is a destroyer, a social engineering Visigoth intent on wreaking utter havoc and total destruction on the armed forces of the United States. General Chaos will not rest until the fighting spirit and the combat readiness of the U.S. military is reduced to a third world status. I come back on the Ray Starman Show. We're going to talk about how this happened, how this has all evolved in the last 40 years. We'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. The Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Gary Owen Ventures, a new hybrid consulting firm offering a unique combination of legal, transactional, and operational expertise to support technology businesses and private equity investors, providing practical, versatile, and relevant solutions to enable growth at reasonable prices. It's reasonable. Offering leadership perspective and vision that comes only from a diverse range of unique backgrounds and experiences. Check out GaryOwenVentures.com. That's GaryOwenVentures.com. And we are back on the Ray Starman Show. We have just under 48 minutes left tonight. Continuing our conversation, our main subject, titled General Chaos is Now in Charge at the Pentagon. Left-wing loonies have been trying to change the U.S. military for 40 years. I mean, this stuff has been going on. What we're seeing now, what you've been hearing about all this crazy stuff happening in the military, this has been going on for 40 years. Pretty much after Vietnam ended, relatively all-male macho culture with its unique camaraderie and worship of a hard-living, hard-drinking, skirt-chasing, rough-and-tumble lifestyle was anathema to the liberal mindset. And yes, for some people that wrote me a comment, Robert E. Lee and Joshua Chamberlain, yes, were teetotalers. God bless. But anybody who's seen The Great Santini, any other military movies, the U.S. military used to be very much into socializing, drinking, rowdiness, skirt chasing. Anything was pretty much tolerated. Obviously, of course, not breaking the law or the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice. Boys would be that. The mentality was boys would be boys. Let boys be boys as long as everybody was back at work on Monday or the next day, no questions would be asked. That has gone right out the window as well. After all, if every other bedrock of America could be feminized and paralyzed by political correctness, and we've seen it in the workforce, the workplace, the human resources department of a company has grown 99% from what the old personnel departments used to be. Human resources department is now the anti-lawsuit, political correctness, Soviet zompolit political officer department. We ought to just make it a department of the old KGB. If the rest of America could be feminized and paralyzed by PC, why couldn't the military be next? Zero profit incentives. Personnel's careers ride on rigidly adhering to rules and pleasing the boss, much more so than the civilian world. The military was a ripe target of opportunity and probably the last great classical institution of America to be henpecked and destroyed by the radical left wing. Everything else was gone. The military was the last target. And it is a target of opportunity that is being destroyed slowly. Yeah, go back to the 70s, the Gloria Steinems, the Patricia Schroeders, the Geraldine Ferraros, the Hillary types. They all had some hand in minutely going after the U.S. military. But they were sort of laughed at. Oh, here comes Patricia Schroeder again. What does she want to do? She wants to put women in the Green Berets. Come on, ha, 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 ha. Go away, Patricia. Thank you for your input. But by the 90s, and you had the first term of Bill Clinton's presidency, the great draft dodger, Bill Clinton, the foundation started to be laid for the beginnings of the demolition project that is underway right now. And the Bill Clinton, the two terms of Bill Clinton presidency, the Clinton administration, had a lot of laws that were changed in the military. Women were now allowed to fly jets, combat helicopters, to serve, even more importantly, in support units that would put them in harm's way, such as the Jessica Lynch situation. We all remember Jessica Lynch. Remember how the Pentagon built her up to the reincarnation of John Wayne, Audie Murphy, and Sergeant Stryker, all in one, maybe with a little George Washington that was a little cherry on top. Unfortunately, we found out that Lynch's weapon, she was in a transportation unit, convoy was ambushed, her weapon jammed, and then she was knocked out when the truck she was in crashed, never fired a shot, was unconscious, but she was awarded the Bronze Star for Valor. She's probably going to go down in history as one of the few people ever in the history of the U.S. military to be awarded a citation for heroism when she was unconscious the whole time. You know, I think back to my cousin who was on D-Day, 5th Engineer Brigade, Omaha Beach, dog green. Never got anything. Whatever, the World War II service medal. He was just happy to get out of there alive. There were thousands, thousands of guys like him. Never got anything. I guess he got the GI Bill afterwards. And so anyway, the Pentagon builds Lynch up as, you know, some superhero. Then they had that Hollywood, Black Hawk Down type rescue. That was all staged. It was, you know, all nonsense to make it look like women were out there storming Union positions with Pickett's charge. I could see Hancock out there 1,000 yards away with the guide on. What else happened under Clinton? Don't ask, don't tell was implemented. Co-ed basic training began. So you really had the foundations, the cracks in the dam were beginning to appear, the fissures. Clinton administration actually wanted to do more damage to the military, like what Obama's doing now, but there was pushback from the military. And this is important to remember. The institution of the U.S. military, and I don't care what anybody says, was stronger than morally, socially, psychologically, whatever, stronger individuals. I'm talking about physical strength. I'm talking about the people at the top had the intestinal fortitude to put their foot down. You're not seeing that now. You're not seeing that at all. We'll get back to that in a second. Well, let's flash forward now. It's 2016. We've all seen what's going on in the military. It's a systematic, calculated Armageddon of the U.S. military, which is marching on like some kind of cultural Marxist blitzkrieg. Since 2008, the U.S. military has been subjected to edicts that have authorized open homosexuality in the ranks, transgenders to join the military. Dempsey said, Martin Dempsey, General Dempsey, retired now, said it before he left, before he jumped off the Titanic and floated away on a wooden pallet down the Potomac as the Pentagon was going and plunging into the cold depths of the river. He said that, let's get some transgenders in the military too. Sure, he'd probably been watching previews of the Caitlyn reality show. Sure, why not? Why not? That won't do anything to destroy morale. Troops will love it. And on April 1st, now we had, was on December 1st, I believe, the first week of December, Ash Carter, Secretary of Defense, I call him Ash and Trash Carter. Ash and Trash is a military term for a unit that sort of does a lot of logistics stuff. I look at it as a little bit of a derogatory term in his case, so. He laid the foundation, the initial authorization for women to serve in the combat arms branches of the U.S. military, aka infantry, armor, cavalry, artillery, and special operations forces, aka Navy SEALs, Marine Recon, the Marine Raiders, the Rangers, Army Rangers, the Green Berets, Special Forces, Delta Force. Am I missing anybody? I don't know. If I missed you, I'm sorry. These are the crown jewels of the military. It's the NFL. These are the guys that win the wars. Not that other people in the military don't help to win the wars. In fact, 75%, 80% of the military support. But Carter is a lackey. He'll do whatever Obama tells him to do. It isn't official yet. It will be on April 1st. Isn't that fitting? April Fool's Day. With General Chaos in charge of the Pentagon, an inordinate amount of training days and weeks and months are now wasted on sensitivity training. Maybe if the lieutenant that was in command of the two Riverine craft hadn't spent his time going through sensitivity training and maybe had some classes on the code of conduct of the United States military, maybe he wouldn't have been apologizing on worldwide TV and telling the world that his treatment by the Iranians was just fantastic. Fantastic. He's also a Naval Academy graduate, which is even more worrisome. Once again, he is a Naval Academy graduate. What else the stuff does the military do instead of actual training for war now? We have they do physical fitness and make men wear pregnancy simulators. Pregnancy simulators. Check out the article on USDefenseWatch.com called "What Kind of Army Is This?" The pregnancy simulators, men are forced to wear them now so men empathize. I can't speak tonight. We can feel sympathy for pregnant women. Like that's what people in the military should be doing. Feeling sympathy for pregnant soldiers who are basically worthless after they get pregnant. They can't deploy. They can't do anything. But that might be changing too. Check out the article in USDefenseWatch.com called "An Army Marches on Its Lactation." How about the story last summer, or was it last spring, when the ROTC guys were forced to march around campuses in their fatigues wearing red high heels? I'll tell you, if I would have been an Army ROTC back in the 80s, if somebody would have told me to put on red high heels, I would have told them where they could shove ROTC. Guys are doing it, though. Yes, sir. Roger that. Red high heels. Oh, I broke a heel. Oh, it looks like I won't be going to airborne school today. Can we jump out of the planes in high heels, too, Sergeant? That'll be great for a landing. Great PLF and a red high heels. Parachute landing fall. How about that Army, the breastfeeding and lactation memo that was in November by the new Secretary of the Army, Eric K. Fanning? That's basically a memo that was distributed to worldwide commands, and Special Operations Command guys did get it. Guys sitting there, Delta Force, was reading a memo on breastfeeding. Proper place to have breastfeeding. Now, breastfeeding soldiers and field exercises, we have to find spaces for them. So maybe we'll use a tank. We'll clear the tank out, strip it, turn it into a nursery so the soldiers can nurse in there. That'll be great. That'll be great for morale and combat readiness, combat firepower. You know, the Army's new motto should be first to lactate. And the other thing is they talk about in the memo, too. Check out the article, Army Marches on Its Lactation. This real memo, excuse me, talks about how they're going to have to store breast milk out in the field. And women that are breastfeeding are going to be able to be deployed to a war. Think about that one. Think about that. The hygiene, women, breastfeeding, children, and deployed to combat zones. It is reaching a point of absolute insanity. What are they thinking? What are they thinking? I don't know. how do you have a woman with a child? Is it going to be deployed to a combat zone? It says this in the memo. Check it out, because I quote from the memo exactly. In fact, I have a copy of the memo. I ought to put it up on the website again, just so people could read it and actually see the complete insanity signed by Eric K. Fanny. I mean Fanning. Menu, let's talk about Ray Mabus, Secretary of the Navy, who will probably go down in history as the most hated Secretary of the Navy ever in the long history, the glorious history of the United States of America. Mabus. Wasn't that Mabus? Didn't Nostradamus say that the Antichrist's name would be Mabus? Somehow I remember reading that somewhere. He's ordered the Marines and Navy to replace every male job title with a gender-neutral nomenclature. Henceforth, infantrymen will now be infantry person, or perhaps infantry thing, or infantry it. Midshipmen, midship thing, midship it. You two midship its report over here in the right now. Roger that. I'd like you two infantry things to take that room. Yes, sir, Gunny, we'll do. I'm looking for that tanker thing over there. Are you referring to the tank, or I'm referring to the general neutral person? Is that a man or a woman? We do not use terms like male and female in the United States military anymore. This insanity knows no bounds. And then let's talk about, this is our segue into what we'll talk about after the station break about General Petraeus. Hundreds of generals, admirals, and other high-ranking officers have been fired or forced to resign under the Obama administration. I have a friend that's still on that, an active duty. He's a 06 colonel. And he claims that there is no purge going on. Really? There's no purge? Like the Major General in the Air Force, the two-star, I can't remember his name, the guy who had flown over 300 combat missions, and he was at a UCMJ hearing for a captain that had been drunk on duty in the Air Force, and he told the captain in the hearing, "Son, you're drunker than 10,000 engines. You were drunker than 10,000 engines. Well, that doesn't go over too well, that kind of speak in the cultural revolution that is engulfing the military now." He was called into his boss's office, 3- or 4-star general, and he was told that he was going to be resigning from the United States Air Force for making that comment. He's gone. Look it up. Look, just Google drunker than 10,000 engines. That man's career is done. I'm surprised we should be seeing him on Fox News soon enough, or one of the stations as a military analyst. That's got to be a competitive arena now. There's so many admirals and generals being S-canned by the Obama administration. Because you can't speak up. I mean, you cannot say what's on your mind. And the reason – oh, yes. And, of course, Ash Carter mentioned last week, and this we're going to talk about after the station break, that he's considering demoting American hero General David Petraeus. My God, if there's anything – the Obama administration doesn't like, it's an all-American male hero from the military. Come on. To do the dirty work of the White House and the radical feminist lobbyists, the Obama administration needs henchmen, bureaucratic sycophants, modern-day Fouquets, who are going to rubber stamp every bit of insanity emanating from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Enter Ash Carter, Ray Mabus, John McHugh, the former Secretary of the Army, who was involved in the controversy with Congressman Steve Russell when Russell requested the Ranger School records, that he still has not gotten. To this day, Congressman Steve Russell has received nothing from the Army concerning the Ranger School records of the 3 female graduates, including the 37-year-old mommy of 2, who somehow made it through some of the toughest training in any military on the planet. Uh-huh. Current Secretary of the Army, Eric K. Fanning, and retired General Martin Dempsey. Dempsey was at the helm of the Pentagon Titanic for quite a long time before he handed off the reins to General Chaos. I'll tell you, General Chaos is not Joe Dunford. Where is General Joe Dunford? General John Dunford is actually the the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff now. He's a Marine. I know he does not like what's going on with Ray Mabus. He seems to be in the shadows. He needs to assert himself and start speaking his mind because General Chaos is in charge. Obama and Carter and Dempsey and Mabus and the rest of the wrecking crew, they've been able to get away with all of this because the military, like I said, as an institution, is not as strong internally, morally, psychologically, and spiritually as it once was. While enlisted personnel and lower-ranking company-grade field-grade officers are solid, like I said, the senior leaders of the U.S. military have failed to stand up for what they know is inherently right. And people disagree with me on this, but I'm pretty sure that that's what's going on. It's a moral cowardice which is creating a lot of these problems. The generals and the admirals who remain at their jobs in 2016 are there for one reason and one reason only. They know how to keep quiet and say nothing as the political correctness angel of death passes by them each night. Their reluctance to speak up, to put their feet down, to defend the greatness of an institution that is 240 years old, has severely weakened the U.S. military as a whole. We are weak and our enemies know it. This is not to say individuals in the military are weak or don't know their jobs. That's not true. We have fine people, like I said, in the lower ranks. As a whole, as a composite whole, though, the U.S. military under Obama has lost its fighting edge. I mean, you can see it. Where's all this going to end? Disaster, wars lost, lives plundered, our nation put in moral danger. A perfect storm of left-wing radicals, cowardly senior leaders have come together to create a U.S. military that won't be able to fight its way out of a wet paper bag. If you ask yourself, well, what kind of military are we going to have in the future? You've already seen it 2 weeks ago. What happened in the Persian Gulf is a harbinger of defeat. Excuse me. That is coming to the armed forces, a harbinger of defeat is coming unless this great nation makes some radical changes with the United States military. These changes can only happen if a President Trump or Cruz or Rubio is elected. The shining city on a hill, folks, is in danger. We are losing the one force that has always defended us, the United States military. We'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. On the Ray Starman Show. We've got about 25 minutes left here. Try to take some calls as soon as I can. I know we've got a couple callers. We could just stand by. The Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Steve Barton's News Alert, the total link site for the news and information junkie, libertarianism, property rights, government corruption, the Chicago mob, union corruption, pension meltdown, higher education ripoffs, the housing crash, the Obama-Chicago Democrat machine, gun control monopolist, and the Ron Paul revolution. Barton's News Alert. That's nalert.blogspot.com. Or just Google Steve Barton's News Alert. You're live on the Ray Starman Show. You're live with Ray Starman. Hello. Okay, looks like that caller hung up. If you want to call back, please give me a call, 602-753-1576. We talked about how General Chaos is in charge of the Pentagon. This leads us into our second topic, the destruction of David Petraeus. We all know General Petraeus from the war in Iraq mainly, although he was commander of U.S. and ISAF forces in Afghanistan. General Petraeus had served honorably in the United States Army for 37 years. Now, a lot of people refer to him as a hero. Well, he's not Audie Murphy. He's not a Medal of Honor winner. I believe he does have the Bronze Star at the V device. Petraeus is a hero for his service, for his dedication to the government, to the U.S. military, to this country. He's a patriot, a hero slash patriot. And what's been happening with Petraeus is he's basically the target of, I would just call it a witch hunt. Last week, we found out that Ash Carter is thinking of demoting General Petraeus. Now, here's a guy who's already paid the piper. Let's backtrack a little bit. Petraeus was convicted of a misdemeanor, given 2 years probation, fined $100,000, because he provided classified material to his mistress, his biographer, who was a U.S. Army Reserve intelligence officer, Lieutenant Colonel Paula Broadwell. While Broadwell did have a top-secret SCI clearance, she did not have a need to know the information. Thank God Broadwell obviously knew that got to pass this information on. The information never went anywhere else. But yet, Petraeus did violate the law. He understood that, and he accepted his penalty. You can't compare that to what Madam Secretary Hillary Clinton's done. There's just no comparison. We'll talk about that probably the next show. Last week, Carter said the secretary is considering going in a different direction from the Army, which said the four-star general should retain his rank. The Army doesn't want Petraeus to be punished. Ash Carter does. And why does he want this to happen? Who is telling Ash Carter what to do? But the White House, the Obama administration, Ash Carter will do anything they want him to do. He is a henchman, a lackey, a minion, a sycophant, a Fouquet. That's why he is in the position he is in. The man has 3 or 4 physics degrees. Yet he's a qualified bureaucrat. Okay, he's not a stupid guy. Obviously, he probably should be working down at NASA instead of being in the engine room with Scotty on the Enterprise, but nevertheless, he's the Secretary of Defense. But he's there for one reason. The Obama White House knows that he is a lackey. Carter said he wanted to be consistent in his treatment of senior officers who engage in misconduct. If he chooses to General Petraeus, would also send a message that high-ranking military officers are not immune to punishment. Excuse me. Time for a couple cough drops. Well, Carter would be consistent, all right. Consistent with the Obama administration's policies of purging the military and destroying the careers and aspirations of warriors. You can't be a warrior and hang out too long on active duty in a senior level. I guess you can be a warrior, but you have to be pretty much a yes man. So what would happen? What's going to happen if Petraeus is demoted? They're most likely make him a lieutenant general, 3-star general, or they could go lower. He might not even be a general when he gets out of this thing. How'd you like to – he's going from a 4-star general to, well, you're going to be a retired colonel now. You're going to lose over $100,000 in retirement pay every year. So Petraeus' retirement pay right now is $220,000 a year. He would be demoted to about, if he's demoted, he'd make 170 grand a year. He's been in the military for so long that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's almost getting his complete salary, which is fair. Guy had 37 years for this nation. Why does the, you know, what's the motivation, though? Ash Carter can say he wants to be consistent. Why are they still after this guy? Talk about that in a second. Petraeus represents everything anathema to the Obama White House. He's an all-American, straight-laced military hero, a male military hero. He's commander of the famous 101st Airborne Division in 2003. He led a division through fierce fighting in Iraq the year of the invasion. Then he became the multinational commander in Iraq, the CENTCOM commander, Central Command, a.k.a. Schwarzkopf's old job. The key figure behind the success of the surge. The surge, you could say, did we win? I don't know if we won, but we certainly didn't lose in Iraq. I wouldn't know what you call it, and I think that's something that could be the subject of another show. How do you define victory? I think we've started to lose again in Iraq, but since Obama pulled everybody out, and ISIS is overrunning the country, parts of it. After Petraeus resigned from the Army, or retired, excuse me, in 2011, he became the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He was in that post for a year. He was forced to resign after the scandal involving his mistress, biographer, Army Intelligence Reserve Officer Paul Broadwell. So, as I said before, what David Petraeus did was wrong. But how does that compare to the myriad, the plethora of national security crimes committed by Hillary Clinton? I mean, it doesn't even compare. It really doesn't. The Secretary of State was conducting business on a non-secure server stored in the can of a Rocky Mountain computer company. The two hipsters that owned the company, they didn't know a top-secret document from a beer bong. And thousands of classified emails were sent through this non-secure server. Top secret, SCI, above top secret. So I've talked about. And Hillary consistently states that she never sent or received any information that was classified at the time or marked classified when she handled it. This is just an outright lie for several reasons. One, information is either classified or not. It doesn't hatch one day like an egg and then become classified. And two, Hillary obviously had her State Department people deleting the classifications from the documents and then sending them to her. But why go through all that trouble? Why? Obviously, the private server, it was set up to cover up her money trail, folks. The donations from countries, people, individuals to the Clinton Foundation. I mean, Trump gave $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. He thought they were going to use it for, you know, helping people in Haiti. You know, what's it going to do? It's probably paid for Chelsea's wedding. These donations, probably a lot of them were bribes to the number one diplomat in the United States, Madam Secretary Hillary Clinton. So while Petraeus may have been caught, he might have been, he's like a kid lighting matches in the bathroom. Hillary burnt the whole school down. Yet, you think anything's going to happen to her? I am betting against it. I think she's going to skate right through this thing. She not only thinks she's above the law, she is above the law. As the government is letting her get away with it so far. We'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell. Why, though, at the end of the day, before we take a station break here, why are they really after Petraeus? Why? David Petraeus, like I said, represents everything opposite of the Obama administration. Duty, honor, country, and above all, a possible serious Republican candidate for the White House one day. Or at least for a governor. Ash Carter says he's still mulling this decision, but like everything he does, going to be motivated only by political reasons. And when we come back, we're going to talk about ISIS for a few minutes and then talk about the Iowa caucuses. 15 minutes left here on the Ray Starman Show. If you want to call and talk to me, we had a couple callers drop out. I was talking so much, I missed seeing them up on the screen. Sorry about that. Phone number 602-753-1576. That's 602-753-1576, and we'll be right back. That, of course, was the opening theme to Johnny Quest. Sort of the barbarians are at the gates. Everybody better flee music. Well, the barbarians are at the gates, and the barbarians, they're called ISIS. What do you think ISIS thought, the guys in ISIS, when they were watching the United States Navy surrendering to the Iranians, hands on their heads, kneeling on the boat? It just reminds me of that scene from Stripes where John Larroquette is in the deuce and a half in his lederhosen, handing over the weapons to the Czechs. And certain Hulk is sitting there watching him from the binos from about a mile away, you know, saying, you know, where'd all that training go? Well, I think ISIS thinks that, rightly so, that they're going to kick our butts. They're going to kick our butts if we keep doing what we're doing now, which is doing nothing to them. Surrendering to the Iranians, where we look weak. We look weak to the world. We're not weak, but we look weak. Obama's weak as a leader. I guess he's a good father, but as leader of the United States, as commander in chief, I think he's pretty feckless. That's why I call him Barack Jimmy Carter Obama. Remember a year ago, we're almost at that year-long anniversary, Marie Harf, State Department spokesman, said, gee, if these guys from ISIS, if they just had jobs, they wouldn't be doing all the things they would. If they could just turn their swords into plowshares. Marie, ISIS has a job. Their job is to kill us, all of us, unless we bend to their psychotic, twisted, evil form of religion. That's their job. And most of these guys that are in ISIS are middle and upper class guys who are just psychopaths. And they're getting away with murder and rape, torture, looting, whatever else they're doing, because the President of the United States doesn't have enough cojones to take them on. Excuse me again. Since the new year began, ISIS has been busy. Some ISIS maniac executed his mother after she told him to leave ISIS. Please, please, son, get out of ISIS. Oh, yeah, Mom, I've got something for you. ISIS beheaded 300 people, men, women, and children, in Syria a few weeks ago. They're actually committing atrocities. They're taking some towns back in Iraq and Syria. And they move in there, and it's a horror show. Last week, they threatened a new terrorist attack in the UK. And they released a video of some of the Paris attackers committing atrocities in Syria last year and Iraq. They don't have to do too much recruiting work in Europe. It's a lock. They've got a fifth column heading into Germany. It's going to be the melting pot of terror. It's making a beeline to Germany, courtesy of Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, who's currently shoving a giant overdose of sleeping pills down Germany's throat in the form of over 1 million Muslim immigrants. They're highly skilled, though, highly skilled in the art of firing AK-47s, detonating suicide vests, driving truck bombs, group rape, molestation, petty crime, all the things that are the bedrock of a successful community. Nighty night, Europe. And Europeans, look, the Germans are putting up with it. They're starting to get frustrated. These are not the same Germans that almost took over the world. 70 years ago. I mean, the Germans, they lost a lot of people. They immigrated to the U.S. Then they had World War One. Then they had World War II. Then they've had the last 50, 60 years of socialism. Countries being run, been run by dumpy women in Birkenstocks. Basically, the whole country has been run by Bernie Sanders and drag for 50 or 60 years. What do you think it's going to turn out? You think it's going to turn out people, men that are going to fight these people? Hopefully there's a few people left there that have got some intestinal fortitude. This is not the same country of Rommel and the Desert Fox, believe me. It's not. And it's sad what's happening. It's happening to the whole continent of Western Europe. Oh, yeah, Sweden is bad. France is bad. The French reacted after the Paris attacks, but you haven't heard too much stuff, have you, after that? They've sort of let it go. But the Germans are going to have to do something. And then there was an article on Alex Jones' website, InfoWars, that the Swedish military chief of staff, basically their chairman of JCS, said that it's coming down to a fight between – it's going to come – if this immigration keeps up, there's going to be a fight in Europe between the Europeans and the Muslims. It's almost a biblical prophecy coming true. It's almost history repeating itself. So the Europeans, they're either going to have to get tough, throw Merkel out starting in Germany if they can then throw her out. I think they're trying to the CSU, the Bavarian Party, part of the CDU, bunch of the Republicans. What's so funny about Merkel, she's actually a conservative. So you figure that one out. But Europe is really just a breeding ground for ISIS. They have a little tough time. I was reading something that the government, U.S. government, is trying to send a bunch of these Syrian refugees to Montana. Well, let me give you a word of warning on that, radical Muslims. If you try pulling some of the stuff you've been pulling in Europe, in Montana or in Texas or anywhere where there's a heavily armed population, it's not going to go well for you, because Americans are not socialist Europeans. And we are not a bunch of guys wearing Dr. Scholl clogs. Try it in Montana and see what happens. And we'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show to talk about in the last few minutes about the election 2016, Donald Trump boycotting the Fox News debate tomorrow, Bernie Sanders, love talking about him, and of course, Hillary Clinton. We'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. Starman Show is brought to you by GaryOwenVentures.com, a new hybrid consulting firm offering a unique combination of legal, transactional, and operational expertise to support technology, businesses, and private equity investors. Check out GaryOwenVentures.com. That's GaryOwenVentures.com. We're back on the last 5 minutes of the Ray Starman Show. You know, I love playing the Rocky music for Trump. Trump is sort of the Rocky character of the 2016 election. Okay, Trump is a billionaire. He's not but like Rocky, he's sort of down and out. Nobody took him seriously. Nobody. Remember when the guy asked Rocky, the promoter, says, "Rocky, do you believe America is the land of opportunity?" And Rocky says, "Well, Mr. So-and-so, I'm just sort of a ham and egger." Well, Trump is sort of a ham and egger. He's a wealthy ham and egger. Nobody's taking him seriously. The other candidates, they don't really take him seriously, even though he's beating their brains out on the polls. And I'll tell you one thing. he's going to be the nominee. Let's take a look at the latest poll from Iowa. The Iowa caucuses on February 1st. February 1st, which I believe is, what is that, February 1st? Is that next Tuesday? Trump, right now, narrow margin. He's still beating Cruz, 31 to 29. Now, some people don't think that was a good idea for him not to show up to the debate tomorrow night. He's not planning on it. Mad at Fox News. Doesn't want to deal with Megyn Kelly, whatever that's about. And he's going to hold a rally for vets instead. But now there's a political PAC that's offered Trump, or they offered to pay $1.5 million to give it to a veterans group of Trump's choosing if Trump will debate Cruz before the Iowa caucuses in the next few days after tomorrow's debate. So we'll see what happens on that. Trump may be just pulling a PR stunt where he's going to show up the debate tomorrow night at the last minute. It's always a possibility. He's a master manipulator of the media. Don't underestimate him. Don't underestimate him. Like Rocky, he's underestimated. Like Reagan, he's underestimated. Like Reagan, Donald Trump is the only person who can probably bring this country back. Ted Cruz, God bless him, he's a good candidate. He couldn't get one vote north of the Mason-Dixon line. He's looked at as a Texas libertarian for the most part. Trump, I'm telling you right now, Trump may be able to carry New York. If Trump carries New York, and if he could get Florida, it's over with. It really is. And these people, they don't take him seriously. But I think that people should start taking him seriously. Let's switch over to the Democrats real quick. The last couple minutes here. Next Ray Starman Show, we'll talk about politics more in depth. Sanders. Comrade Sanders is ahead 49 to 44 in the last poll I looked at in Iowa. He's going to take New Hampshire. That's a lock. He's probably going to take Iowa. Will he take South Carolina? Will he take Nevada? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? I'm rooting for him, even though I wouldn't vote for him because he is a communist. I root for him because I think he's a genuine person. He's sort of like the angry guy at the deli yelling about his corned beef sandwich doesn't have enough mustard on it or something. That's what he looks like. Looks like a guy who's angry at the deli. Well, thank you for joining me on the Ray Starman Show tonight, and we'll see you on Friday. We still have to figure out the time I'll be broadcasting, but check Blog Talk Radio for the next listing, the Ray Starman Show, or check out my website, usdefensewatch.com. We'll see you on Friday. Have a good night.